Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Always Been You by Lily Miller, narrated by Desiree Ketchum and Aiden Snow. 1. Olivia.
This can't be happening. What is she doing here, and where can I hide? And no, I'm not kidding.
I quickly scan the room. My heart drops straight to my feet, and I swear I've stopped breathing. Behind the desk? Under our antique wooden work table? Maybe I could just slip behind my best friend Ellie, who is working beside me. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and right now I'm definitely desperate.
Shit, it's too late.
Olivia, honey, look at you. It has been way too long. Grace Bennett has just walked through the doors of my Reed Point flower shop, and I'm pretty sure I've lost all ability to form a simple sentence.
So this is Bloom. It's amazing.
Mrs. Bennett steps further into the store with a starry-eyed look on her face. Her heels clatter on the wood floor beneath her. I somehow manage a smile as I take her in. She looks as beautiful and put together as I remember in her tailored navy blazer with round gold buttons, perfectly paired pants, a crisp white blouse, and Prada kitten heels. Her rich brown hair is neatly styled in a bob at her shoulders, and there's a warmth in her eyes that makes you want to love her. She is a rarity in Reed Point. Her priorities have always been her family and their happiness, and not material things like some woman in this city. Since Reed Point has become the new, albeit smaller, Hamptons, big money is everywhere, and some just love to flaunt it. Insert eye roll.
These arrangements are all absolutely stunning, and I love what you have done with the space. I am so proud of what you have accomplished.
Thank you. I inhale deeply, trying to calm myself. I shakily look around the small room, seeing it through Mrs. Bennett's eyes. Ellie and I started Bloom 3 years ago. My dream of being a small business owner now a reality. Ellie is my lifelong best friend and now business partner, and I should add superhero to that list of titles because she is thankfully coming to my rescue. Noticing my state of shock, Ellie has dropped the bunch of eucalyptus stems she'd been shearing and stepped out from behind the desk to save me. She takes over the conversation with Mrs. Bennett, and I take advantage of the opportunity to remember how to breathe again.
What brings you into our store, Mrs. Bennett?
My name is Ellie. I co-own Bloom with Olivia. You might remember me from high school. I was in the same grade as Parker, Ellie says, shooting me the side eye and nudging my shoulder, snapping me out of my temporary brain freeze.
Jeez, Olivia, get it together.
I do remember you, Ellie. It's so nice to see you again.
She adjusts her purse on her shoulder while I continue to suffer from heart palpitations.
Well, girls, it's my 40th wedding anniversary, and you know how we like to celebrate. We are having our closest friends and family over to the house for drinks and a catered dinner, and I am in need of floral centerpieces. I couldn't think of anyone better for the job than you two. Do you think you can do it?
She can't be serious. Step foot inside the Bennett's house again? It's not happening. Has she forgotten everything that happened between her son and me?
There is no way I will risk seeing Parker again when just the sight of his mother standing in front of me is enough to twist this giant knot in my stomach.
She reminds me far too much of him, with her dark hair and dark eyes and striking features.
Those eyes. Man.
Parker's eyes. Olivia, stop it.
We'd love to,
Ellie practically sings, snapping me out of my fog. She is rubbing her hands together like she just won a prize at the Reed Point Fair, which we all know is impossible. Those stupid games are always rigged. I glare at her.
Really?
Mrs. Bennett's eyes go wide, looking directly at me for my approval.
Of course,
Ellie nearly screeches back in excitement.
What the actual F, Ellie, are you doing? Has she lost her mind?
It's the only possible explanation because otherwise my best friend is clearly a traitor. I am seeing red. If eyes could kill, Ellie would drop dead on our perfectly swept floor. I'm ready to bury her body.
I've never been able to hide my emotions, always wearing my heart on my sleeve. Mrs. Bennet can surely see my hesitation written all over my face. She takes my hand and says sweetly, "The entire family would be thrilled to see you, and I would be honored if you would do this for me." Well, I can think of one family member who wouldn't be happy to see me, but I can't say no to her. Mrs. Bennet has been nothing but thoughtful and compassionate towards me. She is one of the kindest women I've ever met. I may have spent the past 8 years trying to erase her son from my mind, but I can still remember all of those happy times I spent in her family's home. And now, with her standing right in front of me, every memory Parker Bennet and I ever made is rushing back, flooding my mind. There is no way out of this mess. I'm flustered and anxious, but manage to respond. "Thank you, Mrs. Bennet." I somehow remember to speak again. "How could we ever say no to you?" What did I just do? I want to bury my body alongside Ellie's. "Perfect!" exclaims Mrs. Bennet, grabbing my hand. "All of my friends have been raving about you and your elegant arrangements. I can't wait to see what you come up with." It is no surprise to me that her friends are raving about Bloom. Reed Point is small enough that everyone seems to know everyone else's business, and my business is not exempt. I've gotten used to people talking about me and my family over the years. Unfortunately, we have given them a lot to talk about. We have made it through some very hard times, but not without heartbreak, not without my world crashing into pieces thanks to my father. I haven't seen or spoken much to him since then, but that will all be changing soon. That was then, and this is now. With time, the pieces of my life have been put back together like a puzzle, and these days life is good. I only hope it will stay that way. "Do you have a color palette you would like to stick to, or certain flowers in mind?" Ellie asks, once again rescuing me from my own head and my bad manners. "Pink, white, and green would be wonderful. Peonies and hydrangeas are my favorite. Let me see here." She circles the store, and my pounding heart seems to echo the sound of her heels against the floor. "Something this size in a vase like this one," she says, pointing to a medium-sized clear glass vase bursting with cut flowers we had just created this morning. "They will be beautiful. Ellie and I will make sure of it," I answer, as confidently as possible. "Fake it till you make it" is apparently my new motto. "It was lovely to see you again, Olivia." "You as well, Ellie. I will be in touch." I suddenly want to hug her, but I realize that would be crazy and completely awkward, so instead I reach out to shake her hand. She returns the gesture with a soft squeeze, her warm eyes meeting mine. I watch her walk out of our store after graciously thanking us over and over again and securing her date with her Amex Black card. Finally, able to breathe again, I whip around to go full Fight Club on Ellie. "Jesus, Els, what were you thinking? You know I can't do this." I move towards her, my hands planted tightly at my waist. "Oh, please, Liv, it was 8 years ago and you've both begun new lives. You need to move on. You were 18, and besides, it might actually be good for you to see Parker again." Ellie finishes the transaction on the computer and returns to the large wooden work table. "Put the past where it belongs and make amends so you can really move on, so you can open yourself up again to love. You deserve love, Olivia. You deserve a man in your life who puts you first and gives you the feels. All the feels, Liv." I roll my eyes. How the hell would she know? Neither of us are exactly experts when it comes to love. We're both in our late 20s and have yet to find the one. Parker Bennet was the closest thing to it, and that ended a very long time ago. My chest tightens. Thinking about Parker inflicts this kind of reaction on my heart. "And besides, do you know what this type of event will do for our business? It's the Bennets. It's their seaside hotel chain. The publicity alone will take us next level." I know she's right. The Seaside Hotel chain is listed as the place to be in almost every popular publication on the East Coast.
Influencers post pictures daily to their social media pages from the hotel lobbies, their rooftop pools, and their luxe lobby bars. The Bennetts have been opening new boutique hotels yearly and show no signs of slowing down. Their properties are upscale and modern with luxury amenities like expensive pillow menus, custom toiletries, and swanky lounges. The place to be seen, or so I've been told. Stepping foot into a seaside hotel means running the risk of seeing Parker. That's why I stay away. Olivia, there is no guarantee he will even be at the party. I stare at her, my eyebrow raised. Ellie, are you huffing something? Do you really think he would miss his parents' anniversary party? Nope, you're right. He will definitely be there. Ellie grins and throws her hands in the air. Can't blame a girl for trying. Parker rarely comes home to visit since he moved to New York, but there is not a chance he would miss a family celebration. The Bennetts are close. They always have been. It had always amazed me, the way he got along with his two brothers and sister. As kids, they actually loved spending time together. They always had each other's backs, no matter what. It's not the family dynamic I grew up with. My younger sister Kate and I weren't exactly tight back then, but that changed in our 20s. We needed each other to make it through the pain and embarrassment caused by our dad. Now we are inseparable. Along with Ellie, we are a three-pack. It feels good to know that I always have my two best friends to count on to bring me a bottle of my favorite rosé when I have a bad day. After this particular bad day, though, I'm not sure one bottle will cut it. Els, I'm not doing it. This is on you. You got us into this mess, and you will get us out. This is not up for negotiation. You are being ridiculous, Olivia. I don't care, Ellie, I exclaim with a huff. Fine, Olivia. I'll take this one for the team. I'll do the delivery and set up a loan at the estate and save you the horror of running into Parker Bennett, she states dramatically, her right hand to her forehead. I can't help but smile. That is Ellie. She speaks her mind no matter what, never sugarcoats a thing. She also has the mouth of a trucker and just loves to make me cringe with embarrassment with the innuendo that flies from her mouth. My brunette 5'2 bestie since middle school has stuck by me through it all, even when my family lost everything, when it would have been much easier to walk away. She is best friend goals, and apart from Kate, is the only person in my life to know what losing Parker did to me. It is because she is the greatest friend a girl could ask for that I will not murder her and hide her body. Joking. But I would be lying if I said the thought hadn't crossed my mind for a second time today. Ellie knows that taking on the Bennett's anniversary party could be a huge win for our small business, and I can't fault her for that. I'll find a way to wipe Parker Bennett from my mind. I've done it once. I'm sure I can do it again. It's a beautiful, sunny Friday morning, and Ellie and I are busy with the Bennett order for tomorrow. Since Mrs. Bennett walked through the doors of Bloom 3 weeks ago, my world feels like it has been turned upside down. I am flooded with the memories of the two perfect years I spent with Parker before it all ended. I'm also in dire need of a manicure after biting my nails right down to the cuticles. I know it's not a good look, but it's how I've always dealt with stress. That and a good 5-mile run. The only silver lining to this situation is that my part in the Bennett order ends here. Thank God. I still can't believe I said yes to this job. I must be a sucker for punishment. There is no way I will be stepping foot in their estate, though. That is all on Ellie this time. The deal we made still standing. Everything okay, Olivia? Of course. Why wouldn't it be? I roll my eyes, jabbing a peony into the wet floral foam at the bottom of the vase. You just seem a little edgy. The flowers have to be perfect, Ellie. I anxiously adjust 3 pale pink peonies and hold my breath. This is a big deal. Olivia, you need to chill, Ellie lectures me, adjusting the messy topknot that is secured with one of her signature scrunchies on top of her head.
Since we started working together, Ellie has grown accustomed to talking me off the ledge. She isn't rattled easily, where I can be a roller coaster of emotions. It has always been a dream of mine to open and run my own business, a business that I would build from the ground up through blood, sweat, and tears. I knew that I'd never wanted to depend on anyone in my life, that I needed to be able to stand on my own two feet. It was a lesson I have learned the hard way. When the space for the flower shop became available for lease, it only made sense to include Ellie because we did everything together anyways. We were sophomores in high school when we met and have been inseparable ever since. Having Ellie as a partner helped financially, too, to get the business up and off the ground. You're not helping, Ellie. You, of all people, should know where I'm coming from. I tuck a loose strand of my hair behind my ear and narrow my eyes in her direction. Ellie suddenly drops what she's doing, her eyes meeting mine. Can we talk about what's really going on? No, I answer defensively, hoping she'll accept my one-word answer. I think you might feel better if you get it out. I think I'll feel better when the coffee shop on the corner stops charging $5 for a cookie. I can practically buy an entire box for almost half that price. Don't change the subject. I know what you're doing. Ellie rounds the table and brings me in for a hug. You are going to be fine. You just need a few days to get over the shock of seeing his mom. I am fine, Ellie. Taking a deep breath, I close my eyes and try to be fine. I can do this. I pull back from Ellie's embrace. Her head is cocked to the side. She sees right through me. I'm not surprised. Okay, Liv, if you say so. She shrugs, walking past me to fetch another vase. She's dropping the subject, and I'm grateful. I fiddle with the chartreuse hydrangeas and try to concentrate on the task at hand. 24 pink, white, and green floral arrangements for the Bennett party tomorrow. I have to admit, they are perfection. I really am proud of what we've created. There is no way I'm going to disappoint Grace Bennett. I have put my all into her order, but coming face to face with her son, nope, that isn't going to happen. Ellie will be driving the Bloom van to the Bennett estate tomorrow and will be placing the arrangements exactly where they need to go all by herself. I, on the other hand, will be sleeping in and enjoying the day to myself, Bennett free. We lock up for the day, hugging goodbye, and I wish Ellie good luck for tomorrow. Needing to clear my mind, I make my way down First Street towards the boardwalk that runs along the beach. The laid-back beach vibe of the oceanfront streets paired with charming historical architecture set Reed Point apart from your average beach town. When I was a kid, it was much quieter, but in the last decade, it has grown into one of the more popular cities to visit on the East Coast. At this time of year, the beginning of summer, the sycamore tree-lined streets are buzzing with shoppers. On any other day, I'd be one of them, window shopping the high-end boutiques and browsing the influx of pop-up shops that cater to the demands of tourists. Today, though, my thoughts are too wrapped up in Parker. How can he affect me like this after so many years? I have dated plenty of guys since our breakup, but no one has ever compared to him. I have never come close to feeling that spark like I did with Parker. With Parker, it was like gasoline to a flame. It was fire. I make my way to the ocean and slip off my sandals. The feeling of my feet in the warm sand and the salty smell of the ocean is just what I need to clear my mind. I sit on the beach with my knees bent towards the sky and watch as the waves roll within inches of my bare feet. My breathing slows, and I feel a calm wash over me. My long, golden blonde hair breezes across my face in the wind. I feel like myself again. It has always been my form of therapy to sit on the beach and listen to the waves, and it doesn't cost a penny. I have been coming here since I was a kid. My mother used to always say I was happy any time I could see the ocean. She was right. It sets my soul free. My life is good. I am right where I want to be. I own a cozy apartment that I'm proud to call my own. I own a successful business that turns a good profit. I spend my days at Bloom, working a job I love with my best friend by my side, and I am doing it all on my own. I don't need a man to complicate things or mess with my heart. I have everything I need to be happy. Don't I? But if I am totally honest with myself, I do miss having someone special in my life, someone to come home to at the end of the day. By the time I get back to my apartment, I feel much more relaxed. After a quick dinner and a hot shower, I am tucked cozily into my queen-size bed with a glass of rosé in one hand and a romance novel in the other. The perfect Friday night. I drift to sleep thinking about how I will spend my day off tomorrow. They don't come along often. A morning run, a stop at my favorite bakery for a caramel apple croissant, and maybe a lunch date with Kate. It's the beginning of summer, my favorite time of year, and the forecast for tomorrow is sun. I plan on making the most of it.
2. Parker. A knock on the door jolts me awake. I roll over to check the time on the clock. It's 7 a.m. on a Saturday. Who freaking knocks on your door this early on the weekend? Whoever it is better have waffles and bacon. I get out of bed, throw on my sweatpants, and head for the door. I run my hand through my hair, making a half-assed attempt to look presentable. I glance through the peephole and see Jordan, my assistant, looking wide awake and far too energetic for this time of day. It's a blessing and a curse living where you work. They always know where to find you. My penthouse suite on the 6th floor of the Seaside Hotel has an unobstructed view of the Hudson. You can't beat living in Soho with its cobblestone streets, high-end restaurants, and designer stores. I have taken advantage of it all since moving to Manhattan 8 years ago. We knew we struck gold when the previous hotel went on the market, and that's exactly when I packed my bags and made the big move from my hometown. When my dad had offered me the opportunity of opening the first seaside hotel in Manhattan, I knew it was too good to turn down. Besides, I needed a distraction after everything that had happened in Reed Point. A fresh start in a new city. I thought that would do the trick. But here I am, still talking myself into that theory 8 years later. I haven't got a clue what time I made it to bed last night, but I do remember that gorgeous brunette I didn't take home. What the hell had gotten into me? She threw herself at me, literally. I had just taken a seat at the bar and ordered myself a scotch when she slithered onto the bar stool next to me and practically right onto my lap. It had been a day from hell, and all I wanted to do was have a quick drink and go to bed. But there she was in a low-cut dress that left nothing to the imagination. All I could come up with was a cheesy one-liner. "You come here often?" Man, was I off my game, and had no idea why. She didn't seem to mind. I ordered her a drink, and we made small talk. She had big, round, dark eyes and full lips with long, wavy brown hair. She was, to any man's standards, a 10, and she was laying it on thick. I felt the toes of her stiletto rub along my calf as her eyes went up one side of me and down the other. She made it clear she was mine for the night if I wanted her, but the problem was, I didn't. And I was starting to realize why. I'm heading home tomorrow. I am physically in New York City, but my mind is already in Reed Point. With her. I had lived in the Big Apple for the last 8 years, and bringing women back to my suite has never been a problem. Relationships aren't my thing anymore, which suits me just fine. Running a multi-million-dollar hotel chain is what gets me off. And besides, no one has ever compared to her. After all these years, I'm not sure if anyone ever could. The thought of going back home today has brought all of those memories right back to the surface. It's the reason I stay away from Reed Point. But there was no getting out of the anniversary party tonight. If I was a no-show, it would break my mom's heart. I know how much she misses me, how much they all miss me, and truth be told, I miss them too. I want to see my brothers and my sister, in spite of all the memories waiting for me in Reed Point. "Hey, Jordan," I swing the door open to meet my early bird assistant. "You sure are eager this morning. You can't be human." I rub my eyes and motion him inside. "Good morning to you too, Parker," And aren't you a vision? Late night last night, he says sarcastically, crossing the threshold into my apartment. Remind me why I put up with you again, I shake my head. Jordan laughs and takes a seat on the couch, stretching his long legs out in front of him. Listen, you know your dad has been busting my balls to make sure you are out of this hotel in plenty of time to make it home by 4 o'clock. He has made it clear that your family, not your work, comes first this weekend. And you know your mom wants to spend a little time with you before the party. So you, my friend, need to get a move on. Ah, he's got you doing his dirty work now. I see how this goes. I laugh and head to the kitchen to make myself a coffee. No offense, Parker, but there's no one I know with a nicer family. Why do you always seem so reluctant to go home? Relax, Jordan. You know I'm a mama's boy deep down. I like spending time with my family. I'm packed and will be ready to hit the road after a shower and some breakfast, so you can save the Dr. Phil shit. I open the blinds to that view I've come to love and check on the coffee. Honestly, Jordan is right. My family is the best. I grew up with two loving and supportive parents who still amazingly love each other after 40 years of marriage. My two brothers and sister are my best friends. My older brother, Liam, a hotshot lawyer, is the overachiever of the family. He works nonstop trying to make partner at his law firm back home. Work has been and always will be the love of his life. And then there's Miles. My younger brother is an actor who has a new woman on his arm weekly. He has homes all over the place, Los Angeles, Vancouver, London, and he often stays in New York at the seaside with me. He travels a lot while filming, so I always love when I get to see him. Juliet, or Jules as she prefers to be called, is the baby of the family. Like me, she works for the family business. She is head of marketing and social media for the Seaside chain and has an office at our Reed Point location with our father. I think he secretly likes having her under his wing. For the youngest member of the family, she has always been exceptional at bossing us all around. She hasn't always followed the rules, but she has matured over the years, thank fuck, and has a boyfriend who seems to make her happy enough. Has the email come through from Nelson? I ask Jordan, grabbing two mugs from the cabinet above me. Nelson Baker is our corporate lawyer. He's been with the Seaside Hotel chain since the early days. He not only provides us with legal counsel, but he also provides business advice, too. Why does he have to make me wait on every small detail of this deal? I wanted to have this wrapped up before I went home to see my dad. I pour two cups of coffee and, after handing one to Jordan, sink into the armchair opposite him. I sip my liquid bliss, beginning to feel almost human. Nothing yet, boss, but I'm on it. You'll hear from me the minute I know more. You know how he can be. This has to happen fast. I've got city inspectors ready to go in 4 weeks, and the paperwork is still not signed. My gaze returns to the floor-to-ceiling windows and that killer view. Even after all these years, I can't get enough of it. It will be tough to leave it, but the new Seaside development means a move to Cape May. Not exactly the New York vibe I've come to love, but business is business, and I'm an all-in kind of guy. The thrill and the rush of turning a blank canvas into a Bennett boutique hotel is what I live for. That reminds me, have you booked my hotel in Cape May? Yes, you are booked at the Pier Hotel in the Executive Suite. It's no seaside, but you'll be right in the heart of the city. It is the best Cape May has to offer, and it will work until we find you something permanent. But I gotta tell you, Parker, your sex life is about to go down the drain. Unless you've developed a thing for the over-50s set, you're pretty much fucked once you move there. Actually, not fucked may be a more accurate way of putting it. Don't remind me, Jordan. I've already planned the funeral for my soon-to-be-murdered sex life. When I pitched this location to my dad last year, I forgot to take that into consideration. I massage the back of my neck where my muscles are tensing. This will be our 9th seaside property, and there is no sign of it being our last. The Bennett formula has proven to work. My dad took one small hotel inherited to him from his father and found a niche market for boutique hotels on the East Coast. He has a brilliant mind for business and an instinct that has always steered him in the right direction. He has taught us to trust our gut instinct, too. If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. My instincts are the reason I was so sure of this Cape May deal. I knew I wanted this property the minute I laid eyes on it. I can feel it, and I'm so close to closing the deal and breaking ground. A move to the Cape will be followed by a year and a half of over...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?